We live by promise. Not only the possibilities of our unfolding potential, all those gifts we have yet used and perfected, but we also live in a world by assurances, pledges, and for us, by divine guarantee. And these are not contracts. Viable contracts require consideration, that is, some exchange of goods or services, cash for product or merchandise for labor. The divine guarantees we live by, the promises that sustain us in being, are not tit-for-tat bonds between equals. We do not deal with God, and God does not deal with us. When we answer in faith our deepest longing, our blood and bone need for completion in God, when we pitch ourselves head first, arms opened, into the life His Christ has made possible for us, we commit ourselves to the truth of His Word. That Word, creating, forgiving, perfecting, abides with us as our fire, our breath, and our voice, so that when we hear Him call, Jacob, Jacob, or Bob, Bob, or Mary, Mary, we may speak back with all the weight of an ancient promise. Here I am, Lord. The Lord calls Jacob, and Jacob answers, Here I am. Then the Lord says, I am God, the God of your father. Do not be afraid to go down to Egypt. What is there to assuage Jacob's fear of such a dangerous journey? The Lord promises, For there I will make you a great nation. Not only will I go down to Egypt with you, I will also bring you back here. God's promise of permanent presence is made. Now Jesus, teaching his apostles, makes a promise. Warning his friends that preaching the good news will get them killed, Jesus says, When they hand you over to governors and kings to be punished, do not worry about how you are to speak. You will be given at that moment what you are to say. If the Word manifests Himself in you so abundantly, so publicly, that you find yourself confronted with the possibility of red martyrdom at the hands of God's enemies, why would Christ abandon you at the most crucial moment of witness? He won't. He promises, It will not be you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. Now let's get a proper grasp on this idea. So at the moment I'm about to die for the faith, God's Spirit possesses my body like some modern Delphic oracle and uses my mouth and tongue to argue my defense. No, not quite. Okay? So at the moment of martyrdom, I am inspired by God in a flood of overwhelming emotion to compose a lyrical defense of the faith, which will later be said to have been God speaking through me. No, not quite that either. Okay, so what is it then? As a defense against persecution, Jesus teaches his apostles to be shrewd as serpents and simple as doves. Now shrewdness, that is being clever, being wise, is a gift that needs practice in order to stay sharp. Simplicity of heart and mind, that is a kind of uncomplicated easiness of trust, this is a gift too, and it also needs practice. When wisdom and simplicity are practiced daily, sharpened by every word and every deed, the abiding word is clarified. It's tuned more tightly. Our trust in his promises evolves into a boosted signal, into a sign of thriving grace. And the words that we speak under trial can only be from the Word, because we are persevering in his wisdom and simplicity. We are becoming the Word himself. You will be hated because you trust the name of Jesus. That's a promise, not a contract. And when and if that hate turns to violence, state-sponsored or not, you will already have the Word with you to witness. Now, this is not Jesus the network server downloading Spirit Defense 3.0 onto your spiritual hard drive. It is you. You. Faithful, simple, wise, loyal to Christ's teachings, loving. It's you with the Spirit, a witness to the strength, the endurance of our Father's promises of permanent presence among us. He has called his church to holiness. With everything we have, we must answer in obedience, "Here we are, Lord."